Welcome to UCCF's Christian Persuaders podcast, a series of interviews with people from around the world, gifted and passionate about communicating and defending the Christian gospel. For more information about UCCF, Christian Persuaders, and more episodes from this podcast, do go to uccf.org.uk/Christian-Persuaders. Now today I'm talking to Ellis Potter. Now some of you may know Ellis, others of you may not. Ellis, would you tell us a little about yourself?
Yes, I grew up in California. Mm-hmm. And while I lived there, I became a Zen Buddhist monk. And then in 1975, I came traveling in Europe. And when I was in Switzerland, I became a Christian in a place called Lobry Fellowship. And I stayed there for many years, working in the community. And then I moved to Basel to become a pastor of a church. I did that for 10 years. And now I pastor a church in Lausanne part-time. And I travel and teach and preach and hold conferences.
Brilliant. That sounds ideal because, as this podcast is, I guess, primarily designed for those who are Christians and who want to be better communicators, you're someone who is known as a teacher and as a communicator. What would be your recommendations, thoughts and advice to those who want to improve as communicators?
Perhaps in two parts. One is to know what you're talking about and to stabilize your understanding of the biblical categories of reality and to ground yourself with a background of biblical truth, to know what the Bible means by various terms and categories like faith or sin or hope or grace or love or truth, and to think through these things. And to have much more in the background than you would say if you would give a little talk or something. That would be part one.
So this is part one, so we need to become better dictionaries. Is this what you're saying?
You need to know what the categories are. Mm-hmm. Now, a dictionary is helpful, but not adequate.
Okay.
Because categories change. And when you look into the Bible and you consider a word like glory... Mm. Then you find out that the actual Hebrew word means weight. Hmm. And that certainly is going to be part of the meaning of it. But then you find out that the Bible uses the word to mean radiance. So that is obviously going to be another part of the meaning. Mm-hmm. So when you use the word glory, you need to have in the back of your mind the fact that it means weight, stability, God's solidness, and an active glory, radiance, outgoing. So you need to understand not only the contemporary dictionary understanding of a category, but the biblical understanding of a category, so that you can relate the two and connect the way people use a word or a category now with what the Bible actually is meaning when it uses a category.
Uh-huh. Well, that almost could be another point. But the first point is that we should know what we're talking about.
Yes.
That sounds quite sensible. And your second main point?
And the second main point would be to know how other people speak and how they listen.
Uh-huh.
And how to translate what you are talking about into recognizable terms for the listener.
Right.
And then to be able to relate the two and connect them.
So we need to know what we're talking about and know who we are talking to.
Right.
Now, can you think of an example in which you can unpack that, put that into practice? What might that look like?
Well, if I want to talk about love, then I look in the Bible and I find out that love means not niceness or being cute or pleasing everybody all the time. Love does not mean that you never have to say you're sorry. Love is a series of responsible choices that encourages and supports the other as God intends the other to be. And that love is other-centered. Many people talk about love, then if you know what love is biblically, and you have that in the back of your mind in reserve as a background, then when people talk about love, you can ask questions about what they mean by love and what they hope about love and what they fear about love, questions that are designed to bring them into a biblical understanding of love.
Wow. So how can a question bring someone into a biblical understanding, or what kind of question? How would you ask these kind of questions?
Questions like, how do you know love? Or what are the limits of love? Or is love always kind? Or is love always pacific? Is love ever violent? Does love always agree? Is love always peaceful? Or is there love in conflict? To help people to expand their perhaps romantic view of, and perhaps unrealistic view of, love into a more truly biblical scope of understanding of what love is. And that will bring them closer to the love of Jesus Christ.
Now, people will be hearing you unpack these categories and wanting to know what we're talking about and knowing the foundational categories of biblical truth, but some might be thinking, but surely the message is about a story. The Bible is a story. How does the story and the categories relate? Are they exclusive, or how do they fit together?
A story begins with the characters.
Okay.
And then with the scene, the scenario, the events that the characters participate in. So you want to know who is God and what is he like. And then what has he done, what has he created, and who has he created, and what has happened in the history of his creation, and how does he interact with that. So the story, very often in the mind of Christians and the practice of Christians, is the story or the autobiography of the salvation and Christian walk of the individual telling the story. And we call that testimony. The testimony of the individual, or sharing my faith. There is reality to that, but I would like to encourage expanding that into telling God's story and sharing the faith, rather than my faith. Not my experience of God, but the faithfulness of God.
Ah. And how would you tell that story, or talk about the faith then?
It would depend on who I was telling it to, where I would begin. And it would depend on how much time I had. So if I had plenty of time and it was a relaxed situation and someone was interested, I would begin with Genesis 1:1 and I would run through the Bible and I would tell the story and take an hour to do it.
Okay.
And let them interrupt me and ask questions, and then put a bookmark in my mind and then come back to that place and carry on.
Now, are there any memorable conversations that for you capture this process, this relationship, these kind of exchanges?
Yes, I was talking in the mountains in the French part of Switzerland one afternoon with a young man from Bern, the capital of Switzerland.
Okay.
Who was about 25 years old and had been a few years in Israel living on a kibbutz. And he wanted to know about Christianity. He said he really didn't know anything about Christianity, and someone told him that I could tell him, and he knocked on my door. And so he came in, and I sat him down, and I went back to the beginning. God created, and Noah, and the fall, and Abraham, and a chosen people, and a promised land, and the community of God's children, and then the incarnation and the teaching of Jesus, and then that Jesus died on the cross. And he jumped off the chair and shouted, "He died?" I said, "Yes, he died." And he said, "Well, that's too much." I said, yes, it's too much. And we talked a little bit more, and he said, well, how do I connect with this Jesus? And I said, well, you pray, which means you speak to Jesus' Father in his name, and you present yourself to him, and you ask to be forgiven and corrected and accepted, and to come into a relationship with him, and then you will have life in Jesus Christ. And he said, well, I would like to pray right now. And then I nearly fell off my chair. And so I said, okay, I'll pray, and then you pray. And he prayed at length a classic believer's prayer. Confession of sin, acknowledging of God's forgiving and thankfulness. It was, I wish I had a recording. It was so precious. Now, that's an extreme situation, but you asked for an example, and that's my favorite one.
So that was an example of going through the Bible story so that everything makes sense, kind of one scene after another. Within your own story, what perhaps would have been some of the, I guess, the most significant scenes in your own development, growth, maturity as a Christian?
Yes, I would say over the years of being a Christian, I have learned to listen more and speak a little bit less. Mm-hmm. I have perhaps somewhat naturally as I've aged, but somewhat miraculously, become more patient and more accepting of people. God has given me the grace to enjoy a wider variety of people than I was able to do when I first became a Christian. That's been a great blessing, but also an energy to bless others.
Now, part of me thinks, so, you know, what technique about loving people could it teach us? But I know instinctively that would be the wrong question to ask. But I mean, how would you describe your own experience of, as you say, becoming able to love a greater range of people? What might you say which would be helpful for those who would like to be more loving, better listeners, more patient?
Well, I would say become more aware of the depth of your own sinfulness and distortion and unworthiness, and more joyfully aware of God's infinite power to forgive and save and heal. And that brings you into an awareness of a greater commonality and common experience with people who are more and more different than you are.
Okay. What then, I mean, what is your understanding of being human? This is a classic question. And how does that shape your relationship with other people?
In the creation account of Genesis, it records that God said, "Let us make man in our image." So someone is talking to somebody. Well, who is talking to whom? It's God talking among himself. And so he says, let us, three persons in community, make people in our image. And then he made Adam. And he said, it is not good for Adam to be alone. But it isn't good for Adam to be alone, because Adam is supposed to be in God's image, and God is not alone. God alone is God, but God is not alone. But Adam was alone in the creation, and so the image was incomplete. So God made Eve, and then the image was complete. And in the proper functioning of the completeness of the image, there was a child. So people come in sets of three, mother, father, child, as God is Trinitarian. His creatures in his image are Trinitarian, in family and community. And I think if we understand it in that way, we live in an other-centered identity rather than a self-centered identity, and it leads us into the love of God.
So would you say community has been an important part of your life?
Yes, a very important part. Mm. And the most annoying part.
And I mean, now, because I know you were part of Labrie for a good period, and that is a wonderful model of community. For most of us living in Western Europe, you know, in cities and in houses and flats and things, it's harder to do community. How do you practice community living in Lausanne?
I actually live in Basel.
Okay.
And we live in a Genossenschaft, where the families living there know each other and are friendly with each other, and that's some level of community. I actually practice community somewhat on the web, through Skype and email. I do mentoring by email. I pray with people by email and Skype, instant message, and somewhat by phone. When I travel, I see people that I know and develop relationships with people. So it's a little bit at a distance community in my case, which is not ideal. It's real and it's valuable, but I would be glad if there were more reality of people I was actually with physically. To have community with, but it's never perfect.
No,
we can hope and we can work and we can make choices that promote community, but it's never perfect, and we're always in a situation where it could be better or it could be more or it could be more clear, and there we have to learn to be patient and to be thankful for what we have.
But that's also exciting, isn't it? Because it means that we can always know people more. And to take your first 2 points, we could always know the world more, i.e. the depth of the categories outlined in the Bible to, I guess, form our understanding. So we could know what we are talking about more, know the people that we are talking to more, and look forward to the new creation where those relationships would be developed further and further. So frustrating now, but at the same time, I think quite exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. Well, I think we shall end the interview there. Thank you so much for talking to us, Ellis.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this episode of UCCF's Christian Persuaders podcast. For more information, go to uccf.org.uk.